Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Book of First Chronicles, chapter 4. And as you are preparing to go there, let me recognize a couple of people. Right on something that is just in my spirit, and I pray that you will receive what is in my heart. Let's pray together. Lord, for the next few minutes, I just pray, help me to speak it as I feel it. This fire that is burning in me, let it, Lord, catch on fire in this house. Do, Lord, what you want to do, and may your perfect will be done. When the last amen is said, may we say, surely we've been in the presence of Almighty God. Have your way, sweet Holy Ghost. And we love you tonight, Lord Jesus. Anoint my mind and my mouth for the next few minutes. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to just start right out of the gate tonight with what is in my spirit. And I want to tell TPC and everyone under the sound of my voice, God never meant for you to be average. God never meant for you to just be so-so, just to be mediocre, to be bland, just to be lukewarm. God would rather you be hot or he would rather you be cold, but he doesn't want you to be mediocre, lukewarm, status quo. I have found that most people are just drifting in life, but that is not God's plan for you. God's plan is not that you just drift. God's plan is that you get out of first gear and not just go in a circle, but go forward with Christ and be everything that God wants you to be. You are not just one in a million. You are one in 6 billion. There is nobody like you. Nobody has your fingerprint. Nobody has your unique face features. You are one in 6 billion. And God knows every hair that is on your head. And God did not bring you into this world to put you into a trash can. God brought you into this world to use you, your gifts, your time, your talent, and your treasure. Great men, we have a misconception of what a great man is and what a great lady is. We just think, man, they're great because of their name. I want to just kind of debunk that myth. What makes great men and great women is the fact that they have great thoughts and they have great dreams and they have great tenacity and they just don't quit. When you see a great man or a great woman, it's more than a heritage or a legacy or a name. It's because somewhere there is a fire burning in their spirit that says, I wasn't put here to be average. I wasn't put here to be status quo. God's got a plan and a purpose for my life. And by the help and grace of God, I'm going to fulfill that purpose. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody tonight needs to pray, Lord, enlarge my territory. Somebody tonight needs to pray, God, I want you to do something significant with my life. Come on, somebody. It's one thing to make a buck. It's another thing to make a difference. I'm happy that you can make a buck. Thank you for giving tonight. But I want to tell you, more than making a buck, you got to set your focus on making a difference. God didn't come and put you into this world just for you to get an education, work a job, make a few bucks, get the gold watch, retire, and die. God placed you upon terra firma for you to do something for God, for you to make a difference in somebody's life. Oh, you're not hearing me right now. I said God wants TPC to be more than average. He wants us to be on fire. Shout on fire. I want to be, and I think you do too, something above ordinary. Everybody needs to live above average. You need to know this. You need to know this. I want you to look at a man who literally stood out in the crowd. His name is Jabez, and I want you to look at 1 Chronicles. That's in the Old Testament. I want you to look at chapter 4 and verse 9. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil and that I may not cause pain. Check this out. So God granted him what he requested. If you do a little study, a little history, you will find out that there are literally before this and after this, there are over 600 names in genealogy alone. And all of a sudden, in the midst of 600 names before him and after him, two verses highlight this man by the name of Jabez. And God singles him out for one special recognition. Jabez is like a redwood tree. I want you to see this picture. It's like, he's like a redwood, a big redwood tree. I mean, he just stands out like a big redwood in the midst of a bunch of bonsai trees. Now look at a bonsai. 600 names, and all of a sudden, boom, everything stops and says, I want to acknowledge this big redwood. I want to acknowledge this man. I want to give him recognition. He gets an honorable mention, and yet there's only two verses in the entire Bible about Jabez. What did he do, brothers and sisters, that causes us 4,000 years later to still be talking about Jabez? Only two verses, but there's some secrets that I want to share with you real quickly. If you want to be above average, and I think that all of you do, you need to get these couple of things. Number one is Jabez had a great ambition. Say it with me. He had a great ambition. While the other 600 people that you don't really even know their names were they were okay with being average, Jabez stands out like a mighty redwood. And he said, Lord, I want you to do something significant in my life. He said, I want you to bless me and I want you to enlarge my territory. You know what that tells me? He didn't want to be average. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't want to be average. You don't want to be average. What do you want? You want something great out of life. Many people just drift through life. They live in grandma gear, going in a circle because they don't know what they want. But I think you know what you want. I think you want to make a difference. You want to make a difference. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to make a difference, you're going to have a dream. And I have a dream. You can call me a dreamer, that's okay. But I have a dream of 800 people in TPC. I have a dream of us affecting this community for the good. Call me a dreamer if you want to, but I have a dream that we have the ability to shut down some drug houses, and we have the ability to shut down some dope houses, and God through us can help shut down some beer joints. You say, Pastor, that's a mighty big dream. Well, here's what I know. I may not reach all of that, but at least I'm going to dream for it and strive for it. Because when you stop dreaming, you start dying. No, you're not listening to me. I said, when you stop dreaming, you start dying. You got to keep a dream ahead of you, because if you don't, you're going to live in your yesterdays and not in your tomorrows. You're going to talk about how great God was instead of how great God is. Come on, somebody. I'm talking tonight about we got to live above average. If you're not facing any challenges right now, then find one real quick. Find one. You know why? Because life is all about solving problems. Quit saying, oh my God, I wish I didn't have any problems. You know when you're not going to have problems is when they put you 6 foot under. You know how Brother Dwayne earns a living? Because you have a flat tire. You know how he earns a living? Because you run those tires till they were bald and you needed a new set. You know how he earns a living? It's because your oil has gone bad and you need some new oil. It's called solving problems. Quit saying, I wish I didn't have any problems. If you want to be above average, get involved in people and help them solve their problems. I can tell I lost about half of you right there. Listen, life with no challenges or goals or dreams, you know what it is? It's boredom. Y'all stay with me. I believe with all of my heart that David was bored. The Bible says when kings go out to war, and yet David was staying home. I don't think, ladies and gentlemen, that it was because he was busy that he got in trouble. He was bored. He was bored. When he should have been out there fighting the fights of the Lord, he was instead staying home because he had already fought. But he was bored. I'm telling some of you people, you're bored. And you need to get involved in something bigger than yourself. Can y'all handle this? I'm talking about living a life above average. Get involved with something that's bigger than yourself. The only thing that's going to live as long as God does is people. Everything else is temporal, but people are eternal. Get involved with people. How can I do that? Go by and encourage them. Text them. Hey, I missed you. Text them. Hey, come on. You can do this. Talk to somebody. Call somebody. Fix them a pie. Fix them a cake. Fix them some gumbo. Go by and see them. Teach them. Talk to them. Sing. Do something. My God, get off of your blessed assurance and say, I'm going to give my best. I'm going to get involved in the great kingdom of God. You say, Pastor, you're mad. Really? I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not at all. But there's a fire burning in me because TPC, God's hand is upon you, and God doesn't want us to settle for average. I just read something the other day. Mike was kind enough to put something on my desk. And I read it, and it talks about a young pastor who is pastoring in a town of 2,000 people. There's only one red light in his town. And he just decided, you know what? I'm not going to be average here. I'm not going to do it the way everybody else does it. And I won't go through all of what he's doing. That's immaterial. But let me tell you the good news. That church in 2,000 people with one stoplight is averaging 700 a Sunday. Wow. 700, 2,000 people, one stoplight, averaging 700 a Sunday. I think De Quincy's probably what, 3,500, 4,000? Maybe a little bit more if you include Ragley and some of the regions around about us. I want to tell TPC, we're thinking too small. If a town of 2,000 can have 700, then surely a town of 4,000 can have 800. I wish I had some believers here tonight. I'm talking about it's time for us to rise above average. Can I keep preaching? Here's what happens. Number one, we tend to confuse humility and fear. In other words, we say, I can never do that. I can never do that. I can never be a great man. Well, let me tell you something. That's not being humble. That's fear. I'm going to help you. Humility would say, I can do it with the Lord's help. Within myself, I'm nothing, but with Christ, I can do all things. Listen, a lot of people wonder, if I get a big dream, Brother Nealon, if I get a big dream, I may get full of pride. Well, that is a legitimate concern. But just trust me, somebody that's walked with the Lord now for 40 years, trust me, God has no problem in humbling you. He knows real quick how to humble you. What he has a problem with is the getting you to believe for things you've never attempted before. So stop worrying about, well, if I have this great ambition, I may get puffed up in pride. Trust me, God knows how to get your attention. Are you with me now? Number two, we tend to confuse contentment with laziness. I need your attention. In Philippians 4 and 11, it says this, Paul speaking, I've learned to be content in everything. Now, some people think that means we should never set any goals. Paul was not saying, I had no ambitions or desires for tomorrow. He was saying this, I've learned to fully enjoy today and this moment, even though my goals aren't reached yet. Okay? Where's Hudson at? Is Hudson here tonight? Hudson, are you here? Come up here just real quick, buddy. I need to borrow you just a minute. Boy, isn't this a fine man? Okay. Can I borrow you just a minute, Hudson? Okay. Y'all, what if Hudson, after his first day of preschool, marched in to his daddy and looked at his daddy and his mama, and he says, you know what? I'm going to just tell y'all something. I've learned it all. And guess what? Since I've learned it all, I'm going to be content with what I have. I don't need math. I don't need spelling. I got it. Now, what would y'all say about that? Be content all you want, little rascal. You're going back to school tomorrow, bless God. You think you learned it all. Well, you haven't. And that's just like us. Well, I better be content with what I've got. So this is who I am. I hope the Lord likes it. You know what that is? That's laziness. I said it's laziness. Well, this is just the way I am. Like it or lump it. I'm going to tell you something. You better be careful. God knows how to get your attention. Remember, the clay doesn't say to the potter, make me like this. Clay doesn't have any control over the potter. The potter's got a mind and a will for your life. And what he's wanting is for you not to say, well, I'm content and I've arrived and I know it all because I've been in church 40 years. Let me remind you of something. You can be in church 100 years and still not mine all the truths that are in this Bible. You can be in church for 150 years and still not know everything there is to know about God. Come on, somebody, stand to your feet 5 seconds and give God some praise. Thank you, Hudson. Hey, do this for me. Look at your neighbor and say, stop being so contented. God's got more for you. Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. Stop being content. Yes, I can rejoice in today. I can be thankful for what God has blessed me with. I don't have to look for tomorrow or worry about tomorrow. But it doesn't mean I don't have any goals. It doesn't mean I'm just, well, whatever will be, will be. No, that's not the attitude. The attitude, I thank God for everything, but I want to keep reaching. I want to keep growing. I want to keep climbing. I want everything that God has for me. I want to see 800 people in this house worshiping, praising, magnifying God. I want to see people healed, delivered, set free, lives transformed. Are y'all still with me? And we tend to confuse little thinking with spirituality. Well, I'll just serve the Lord in my little way. Well, stop it. Stop it. Satan is a master at getting Christians to think small. Come on now. I want you to notice something in the two verses here. Number one, there's no mention made of any special ability or talent or gift. It doesn't say that Jabez was educated or wealthy. He was just a common man with uncommon faith in God. Brothers and sisters, let me have your attention. God will never, ever use somebody qualified. There has been never anyone qualified yet. The only person was Jesus Christ. Outside of that, you got murderers, liars, adulterers. Quit this excuse. Well, I got to be perfect, or man, I'm afraid if I got into a Bible study, I wouldn't know the answer. Look, I've looked at many of people and said, you know what? That's a great question. I don't know the answer, but I'll get back with you in a week. Is that okay? I've never had anybody look at me and say, well, you're a moron. Every person I've told that to said, well, sure, no problem. Yeah, I've got a week. That's no problem. You know what you're doing? You're copping out. You're being lazy and calling it, well, I'm just going to be content. Oh, I know I'm coming down your road, sweetheart, but I'm coming down with a smile on my face. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about living above average. There's something far more important than talent or ability. You know what it is? It's faith. It's faith and it's availability. I've seen a lot of people with talent, they're knuckleheads. You like that, didn't you, sis? They're knuckleheads. I love talented people, but here's the truth. I'd rather take a less talented person that's going to be faithful and available than a really talented person that thinks they're all that in a bag of chips. Come on, somebody. If you got faith, then you don't need to worry about what you don't have. All right, I'm preaching quick. Evidently, Jabez had some type of handicap or disability. Why do I say that? Because his name means painful. That's what his name means. He caused his mother so much grief when he was born that his mother labeled him painful. How would you like to be called painful? Now let me ask you this question. Who's labeled you and you're listening to it? Who's labeled you? Well, you're just a pain. Well, you're just a nothing. Well, you'll never amount to anything. Who's labeled you and you bought into it? Come on, somebody. Who's labeled you shy? Who has labeled you, you're never going to amount to anything? Who's labeled your life and tried to put you in a straitjacket of limitations that your life is never going to count and you're never going to matter? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, what Jabez did is he never bought into it. He never bought into it because his faith was stronger than his handicap. And he refused to let it get him down. I don't know what your handicap is. It may be physical. It may be spiritual. It may be a painful childhood like Jabez. It may be a frustrating job or a bad marriage. But let me tell you something. You got to have faith to say, you know what? I know that's what you said, but that's not who I am. I know that's where I've been, but this is where I'm going. I want to remind you there's three people in life. Are you ready for this? Number one, they're accusers. Accusers. Three people, accusers. Here's what they do. They're people who blame others. It's always your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Then, number two, there's excusers. They always have an excuse for everything. I just couldn't do it better. That's just who I am. That's just the way I am. Deal with it. Or number three, you have choosers. They choose to move ahead in spite of difficulties, habits, and hang-ups, and labels, or problems. And this is what made Jabez awesome. He was a chooser. He chose three requests that made him live above average. Number one, he prayed for the power of God in his life. This is what he said, bless me, enlarge my territory. Can I tell you that the first time I read the book of Jabez, I'm going to be honest with you, I thought, man, this is very selfish. I did. I thought this is very selfish. How many's ever read the book, The Prayer of Jabez? You ought to read it. It's a great book. It's short. It's easy to read. But the first time that I read it, I thought, man, this is selfish. Why? Because basically, if you boil it all down, these two verses, here's what it says. Jabez says, help me. He says, bless me. He says, use me. It's all about him. And I'm like, well, that's pretty selfish. But apparently God approved because the Bible says that he answered his request. So it worked for Jabez. So here's what I learned. Here's what I learned, guys. I want you to catch this. I learned out of this right here that ambition is neither moral or amoral. It's neither good nor bad. Ambition. You know what makes it good or bad? Is your motive behind it. Remember that. Your motive behind what you're doing. God will never honor a wrong motive, but He will always honor the right motive. And when you get in there and you say, God, look here, I want you to bless me, I want you to use me, and I want you to help me. But it's really not about me. It's about you doing it through me so I can bless the kingdom. That's really my motive. It's not my motive so I can get on Facebook and tell everybody I got a new motorcycle. Nothing wrong with motorcycles. I love you, McCartney. Where you at? Nothing wrong with that. Love motorcycles. Just popped in my brain. But listen, it's not about you getting on Facebook to brag about what you got. It's about understanding I'm being blessed so I can be a blessing. God, I want you to enlarge my territory. I want you to bless my finances so I can bless the kingdom and bless others and bless the whole house. I'm going to tell you something. I believe with all of my heart that God dares some of us tonight to begin to ask for big requests. You say, Pastor, can you back it up? I think I can. James 4:3 says, you have not because you ask not. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to the power that works in us. Can I tell somebody, you can't outdream God. You can't outimagine God. You can't outthink God. Some of you think 800, wow, that blows your mind. I'm going to tell you that doesn't blow God's mind. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. God would love all 4,000 people in this community to be saved. Come on, somebody, shout with the voice of triumph. I'm hurrying. He prayed for God's presence in his life. In other words, he said, God, let your hand be upon me. He prayed for God's protection over his life. In other words, God, keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. Can I talk to somebody here? When you combine the powerful forces of a great ambition and a growing faith and a genuine prayer life, you know what it's going to do? Those are the three secrets to Jabez. Right there. There they are. You ready? A great ambition, a growing faith, and a genuine prayer life. I promise you, if you get those three, God's going to rise you above average. Let's stand together. Here's how that I want to end this service tonight. I don't know how you rate yourself. You may rate yourself below average. You may rate yourself average. I don't know. But I say this in all sincerity, and I don't say this every week. But I believe with all of my heart, God put this word in me for TPC. I'm not going to be happy, you're not going to be happy, and God's not going to be happy with average. We cannot afford to have cute church. We can't afford to waste a Sunday. There is somebody here today, you need a touch from God, and before you leave, you need to allow God to touch you. You need to pray the prayer of Jabez. God, tonight, I want you to bless me. I want you to help me. I want you to protect me. And I'm not praying it for myself. My motive, God, is I'm praying it for the kingdom of God. Put me this week. Put me this week, Lord, at the right place, at the right time. Help me to meet the right person. And when I do, let there be something on the inside of me. Speak through me, God, words of encouragement. Help me to be sensitive. You know what? You don't need to be afraid of praying for somebody right there in the post office. I'm not saying you got to shout and scream. I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord that is in you can be sensitive to take them by the hand and say, I'm praying for you right now. God put me here at this time, led by the Spirit.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.